I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba. And you're listening to Nostalgic.
Here's the thing. I'm also hungry, but I feel like I talk about McDonald's a lot, but I ordered McDonald's last night. So I kind of have...
You ordered McDonald's. It's so nice.
And this is what I do, which is so funny. It's like the epitome of like tricking yourself into like doing to being like healthy, because I'm like, well, I'm getting a happy meal, so it doesn't count. Like, it's just...
Exactly.
It's just 4 chicken nuggets, but then like... When you're, like, high at, like, 2 a.m. and you get, like, the little kid fries, it's not enough. I was truly, like, I was, like, next time.
Then you did that?
The fries were so small. And, like.
Then you did that?
I did. And it's so sad because I always click on Uber Eats. They say, do you want a toy or no toy? And I don't want a toy. Like,
yeah.
There's an option. And I always click no toy. Have they always given me a toy? Yes. They
give you a toy every time?
Every time. And this time it was a book. I didn't read it.
I didn't read it.
And you know what?
Why
I actually
are you doing
used,
this?
I used it as a little coaster to put my ketchup on. I like squirted ketchup on it, and I was like, "Readings for idiots." They said that.
Ben, you know, you always say shit like this, but you're an avid reader. Like, you
I
read a lot.
I actually bought 2 books yesterday.
That's really nice. I'm reading a book too.
What book?
It's called Book of Night Women. I can't remember who wrote it.
Oh, I love that title.
And it's... I wish I wasn't reading it. I only have books left over. The only books I have left over are the ones that I could not stomach reading in university, because I'm really trying not to buy any new books. I'm trying to finish the ones that I have yet to read. And all the books I read in university were about slavery, because I minored in African studies.
Oh, my... It's like... And it's like, especially when you read books in university, I find them, it's like they only exist in the classroom for me. Like, I'm like, I'm,
yes.
Even if it's a good book, I'm trying not to enjoy it because I'm like, a teacher told me to read it. And when it's like, you're reading about slavery, it's like, then it's like, you're only going to be like in the mood for that. But I will say, when I find a book that I love to read, I'm like, oh my God, like I'm going to write a book. Like, I'm like, I'm good. I'm a writer. Like, you know, when you're reading and you're like, I wrote it. Like, you're reading a book and you're like, I wrote this book.
Yes.
But when a book's, when a book's bad, it erases all my memories of ever finding joy reading. I'm like, I get so angry. And I also like, I'm the type of person who I have to finish it. Like, even if it's bad, I just have to finish it. It's like Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. See, I'm a reader. And I literally am just saying that now because because I was watching a drag queen's YouTube video and her name was Raven.
Yeah.
And that just reminded me of it.
Raven from Drag Race.
Except we're kind of...
what's her tea?
We're kind of not here for her anymore.
Because she's problematic. Like, why is she like my skin tone now?
Exactly.
Like, what's going
on? She's been blackfishing for like...
Like, girl, what?
And it's like, she's also just... I'm rewatching season 2 of Drag Race, which was her first season. She's a mean queen. Like, she is.
She's a mean cream.
She's queen. A mean cream.
She's a mean cream.
But she was so mean. And when I was first watching her, I was like, haha, like funny, bitchy queen. But now I'm like maybe more sensitive because of COVID. And I'm like, be nice, girl.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not worth it. And she was like, she never had the talent to back it up. And yes, she was serving charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, but she wasn't.
No, and it's like, she was pretty, serving, but she was never like. Yeah, she was never, like, funny.
She was never the one to watch.
No.
She was, like, the one where, like, the insecurity was, like, seeping out of her.
Yeah, because she... And all her confessionals were just being, like, so-and-so shit.
Bitchy.
So-and-so shit.
Yeah.
And then just being mean. My favorite moment of hers is someone... I think it was Tatiana was like, you all think I'm shit. And then Raven was like, I would never say that. And then it cuts to a super cut of her being, like, her dress was shit. Her look was shit. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
If I was a drag queen, though... I think I would be mean.
You'd be mean?
Because I think what happens...
Why?
I think what happens, and it's kind of like a Rorschach test, is like when gays get in drag, they let out. Yeah. They kind of let... It's like, it gives them...
It's cathartic. It's like, this is my alter ego.
And I'm thinking... And it's like, maybe I keep too much in. I put on a wig. I'd be like, screw you, honey. That's my catchphrase.
That is so funny. I think that if I went in drag, I'd be a whore.
Oh, my God. Abbott, you in drag, picture you.
I want to do it one day.
The biggest pageant hair in the world.
Yes, just.
And we could, you know what I love? When there's a duo, like two queens, and they both have like.
Topanga. Yeah.
You
said Topanga. I don't know. Like, what are you talking about?
No, we have to bring him. Now we have to bring him in.
No, I'm mad at now him. Topanga. Okay, this is. You start.
Okay. Wait, should we be like so real with our listeners and say that this is
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be so real, like our guest is so special because once was not enough for him.
He's banned from the show. This is his last time being on the podcast.
This is his last time, and there is famously, there's a lost episode that the listeners will never and wish as you might.
Let me tell you, so funny. It was so funny. Such a funny episode.
And the thing is, it really was, and I remember like, even it's like that feeling of electricity when you're recording being like, this is lightning in a bottle. Like it'll never happen again. And what we're doing here is we're trying to replicate that magic. Mm-hmm. And the pressure's on. I'm looking at our guest. The pressure's on.
He's sad.
Wishing he never came. No. Obviously, like our guest is beautiful and he's gonna accomplish greatness no matter what.
Ben is flattering our guests. Ben is really giving our guests more than he deserves.
I'm playing. Well, this is very like I'm like, you know, when like we're two interrogators, I'm the one that's like, tell us the truth, sweetie. And Abba's the one that's
you're
like,
you're good cop, I'm bad.
Yes,
cop.
And Abba's the one's like, you're getting a life.
You're getting
no parole.
And your kids are gonna die not knowing their father.
Oh, and Matt, your kids. Oh my God, I was about to.
No.
Your kids will not know who you are. Let that be known on this podcast.
No!
Matt, I take that back. If we're going to get into it, there's even if you were locked away, Matt, your kids would have no choice but to know who you are because of your gorgeous credits. Hello.
Exactly. How could they not
How
know?
How could they not know the legacy you have left behind?
Matt's dying. He's fucking losing
The legacy mind. Argus has left behind is greater than even himself. And that includes writing for a show that I know a very special person who's on that show as well. 22 Minutes. Heard
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, Matt writes on
Matt
it.
Matt writes on it.
Sometimes he writes me these sketches about gout and being from the 20s. See? I don't know.
He also has a stand-up album called Existing yes. is Exhausting, which you could get
yes.
wherever you find stuff to stream, I guess.
And if anywhere you want to stream that, stream it, buy it.
Buy it.
If it's available to buy, there's merch, there's vinyl. You buy may it. Have heard, he's been on JFL, you heard it, JFL Zero.
JFL Zero, which is... Zero. Some people call it JFL period, and we say, well, if there's yeah. JFL 42,
there's JFL well, zero. Zero. And the JFL Zero as in Montreal, as in Donna, Donna,
Donna, Donna, Mommy! Was that the thing?
It's over. It's over. As in that
the green
fucking gonorrhea looking thing. It looks like what gonorrhea
Doesn't he have
is.
A name?
Gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea. It's gonorrhea.
Yeah.
The little gonorrhea, still standing. He wrote for Still Standing.
Yes.
And the final credit, Topanga.
What is Topanga? Please welcome Matt. Please welcome to the pod. Matt, right?
Okay, hello. Topanga. Absolutely thrilled to be your first ever repeat guest who may or may not have ever been here in the first place. So this is what happened last time. At least I'm relatively certain. So
okay.
I always get a bit squirrely when anyone asks me my credits because I don't like talking about myself. I'm trying to get better at this. Yeah. But I just copy and pasted my Twitter bio because I knew that they were in there. Because I'm comfortable being a bit more shameless on the internet.
I remember it. I remember now. Sorry, continue.
But and I put as my... I have in my bio, I think I have like... I have Just for Laughs, The Debaters, 22 Minutes, and I played Topanga on Boy Meets World. So I absentmindedly put that into the little chat here so you could read it. I'm outing you guys for not knowing my credits. And I think Ben just read it cold and then was like, wait, what? Like you said...
I love how.
And you know what's so funny is when the first time we recorded, I remember us like really being into that joke. We're like, you said you were Topanga in your bio. We were eating it up. We were screaming. And then this time you just kind of like remind us of the joke and we're like, what? Matt, are you crazy?
We're like, Topanga, what the fuck are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Like,
this guy's insane.
Just shut you down. No, of course. And.
Of course we remember
Topanga. Of course we remember Topanga, and we will never forget after this.
We'll never forget her.
Oh, God. I remember on the last podcast that we did, which was magic.
It was.
Mm-hmm. We several times did callbacks to things that we said before we did on mic. So I think the move on this one is to do callbacks to a podcast that you guys never even put out.
Exactly. Oh, I think that's the way it has to go, actually.
There are times when
I think that's the name of the game.
There are times where I listen back to our podcast and even the inside jokes we're making that we're the only people we're supposed to get. I'm like, what am I talking about? I'm like, so I can only imagine.
Yeah.
For the listeners, I feel like this is kind of like, Matt, oh my God, and this literally goes into the callback. Remember when you told me to watch Memento? Guess what?
Yeah. Do you watch Memento?
I watched Memento.
Oh,
and
buddy.
I picture like...
How was it?
Here's the thing. Iconically on Letterboxd, I gave it 3 stars because it was not... Okay. I expected Christopher Nolan to kind of be... what I know them, but I get it. He was a bit more low budget. It was an interesting drama. The twist at the end was not for me. I was kind of like...
The way you're talking about this is so funny.
I was kind of like, it's like, okay, like, so, like, all of this is for nothing, essentially. And, well, can I spoil it? Abba, do you mind if I spoil Memento?
Yeah, it's been out for a very long time.
So basically, like, he's like, oh my God, like, I need to kill my wife, or I need to find out who killed my wife. Like, I'm on this hunt for vengeance. And then he has this short-term memory loss thing where, like, he can't form new memories since the accident in which his wife, we thought, was killed in this accident. But am I getting it? Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, because now it's getting a little bit muddied. But anyway, but the biggest plot hole for me, gaping plot hole, was that Miss Thing could not for the life of him remember who killed his wife, but he knew to bleach his hair every other week because those were the roots of someone with a fully functioning memory. Were the roots of his crisp, clean, bleached hair. And I was like, that okay, so he has like a standing appointment with like a colorist, but he can't remember who murdered his wife.
Oh yeah, I don't buy it. And he has tattoos on his body of like everything that he had, everything that he needs to remember. All these clues he has tattooed on his body. It might be one of those movies that you watch like when you're in your late teens, and just because there's a twist, you're like, that was fucking
you're like, whoa,
totally.
You know Christopher Nolan's work has not been getting like rave reviews lately. No. People have been dragging it for Phil.
Tenet.
Then that movie The Gentleman or something. Haven't seen it. Yeah, I don't. Maybe it's called something completely different. I don't know. I don't respect it.
Oh my God. I think Memento's worth a watch because conceptually it's fun. I like a good concept in a movie. I either like a cool high concept or literally movies just about heartbroken people my own age making sense of what life is. Nothing in the middle. Those are like my two sweet spots.
Oh my God. I watched the
I like to watch a really slow drama.
Turns out like Abba really just puts their movies on slow-mo. It's an hour and a half. You're like, what's all this? I watched the saddest, longest movie I've ever seen in my life the other night.
What'd you watch?
It's called An Elephant Sitting Still. Truly, not joking, four hours long. Not exaggerating. It's like it's set in like northern China, and it's about these four like stories that kind of like interweave throughout the day. It's so sad, and it was this director's like it's regarded as one of the greatest directorial debuts of all time. And then the director, a young man, took his own life days after the film wrapped. And it's truly like. And it's like a
why did he do
that? I know, and it's heartbreaking for many reasons because like the movie itself is so sad, and it's kind of like I think there are autobiographical elements, so the whole like narrative encompassing the movie is like it's heavy. Like it's a Kalanko flick for sure. Like that's a
Kalanko flick.
I hate that I gave him that.
Right, I was just gonna say we can't give him that.
We'll bleep it out. But it's so sad, and guess what? There is an elephant, and that's all I'm gonna say.
There's an elephant, and it's sitting completely still.
I think that's up for you to decide.
Oh.
Okay. Sorry, I feel like I truly derailed an otherwise joyful reunion. But Matt, how are you, girl?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I mean,
no, Ben.
I'm hungry like Abba, if I'm honest.
I just ate yogurt. I was stress eating yogurt before this started because I had granola in it.
Why were you stress
eating? Well, because it was so loud. Like, I have this granola, and it's a particularly loud granola, and I was worried that even though I was muted, it was so thunderous that it would bust through your intro.
It's like when someone's still muted, but you could see their sound waves like elevating. Yeah. We're like, oh my God, Matt is spiking. What's he doing?
Oh my God.
I know what you mean. I have crunchy granola. I'm a pumpkin flax granola consumer, and there's obviously pumpkin seeds in that. And
God damn, well done, Abba.
Oh my God, Abba, you have such a cute little sneeze.
Yeah, that was dope.
That was the biggest sneeze I've ever done.
You know when babies sneeze and it surprises them? That was kind of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so funny. I've never thought about that, but babies are definitely like that. They sneeze and they're like, what does it all mean?
Oh my. My baby cousin, Benicio, had the hiccups once, and every time he'd hiccup, his head would like dart around. Like, who said that? It was insane. Like, he'd hiccup and be like, wait, what? Did you guys hear that? And we'd be like, oh my God. And he was kind of like tickled by it. Like, someone told like a shocking joke. He's like, wait, who's that? And it's like, it's you, girl. Oh my God.
Benicio. Aww.
I love babies.
Oh my God. You know who?
Oh no, say it.
No, I don't. That's it. I didn't have anything.
You know who loves babies?
I'm sure.
I feel like our musical topic would love babies. I can't
love babies.
I'd be shocked. I'll say this. I'd be shocked if like it came out that he hated babies. I'd be like, that doesn't sound like him.
It doesn't sound like him. He does seem like. I feel like hard-working Americans are always like baby lovers.
Yes.
Like, but that's the thing. But well, I'm gonna let Matt introduce this topic. Matt's giving me a look like, what?
No, okay, I'm afraid I cannot do that for you right now, because what's going on in my mind is very different than what's. So I thought this whole time you were teeing up Aiden. Your producer, Aiden. I thought you were gonna just bring into the fact that Aiden wasn't here yet. That you were like hardworking Americans, and I was like, okay, all right. I thought he was. I know he said he lived in Australia on the Forgotten podcast, but, and then you were like, Matt, take it away, and I was like, oh no,
Matt. That's so funny.
That is beautiful.
So funny. We never, if Aiden's not here, we never talk about it. We never.
Oh, I get attached to exactly how things are immediately. Yes. I showed up in here within like 10 seconds. I was like, where's Aiden? This is not how things work around here.
That's true. You were like, where's Aiden?
Oh my god.
No, introduce our topic du jour.
Okay, so for the second time, we are talking about Bruce Springsteen, because on the last time, I forgot to hit record. Mm-hmm. And I have checked, I'm not exaggerating, 6 times, both my phone and my mic to make sure that I'm recording obsessively. There's been times I've been like, oh God, I'm not listening because I'm checking to make sure this is recording again. But I will say, true to the Springsteen ethos, I think doing this again, twice, doing it twice, is what he would have wanted.
Absolutely.
He would have wanted us to do it twice.
He doesn't want to do anything the easy way.
Truly.
I agree. It's about hard work. It's about consistency.
I feel like I'd argue that he'd be like, once is not enough. He'd probably be like, you got to log a good more 50 hours before that episode is ready.
Well, we're just getting going here.
Yeah. There's something about that man that's just so like, he's about repetition. Like, he likes the... whatchamacallit? What's the word? Not Moliere.
I don't know what even that word is. That's fancy.
What's that word that's like... The minute?
Oh, minutia.
The minutia? Minutia. The minutia.
That word is so annoying to read.
Is that what it means?
I think, the little things. He's definitely the type of guy where he's like, on Sunday, it's like a big roast.
Yes.
For dinner. Yeah.
It's a big roast on Sunday. It's a roasted chicken on Sunday.
Always on Sunday. Yeah. And like Wednesday is like vegetarian night. Doesn't matter what the meal is, but we eat veggie on Wednesdays. Like, he seems very, very that. And like...
Regimented.
Regimented. Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
Yes, regimented.
And he is like that. I've read his book, and it's... He doesn't do any drugs or anything. I think he does a bit of drinking, and maybe not even... Because he's like, Jesus Christ, you're 72.
He got a DUI.
He did get a DUI.
He does a lot of drinking.
At the prelude to this podcast, we got into that like at the end. But at this time, we're like, we're not fucking around. We're getting right into it.
He took four shots of tequila and got pulled over in Jersey. Oh,
but also, I can't believe he got fucked over 4 shots of tequila.
I do remember, Matt, you telling us that story and being like, that to me is just such a funny way to like... get caught drunk.
Well,
it was just a couple shots of tequila. Like
tequila. Yeah.
Because I'm wondering how to even play this, because I do think that there's stuff that, and it's weird because I'm a stand-up, so I should really have no issue repeating myself, but there's some stuff that I'm like, oh, we should get that out there because I think your listeners would enjoy it.
Yes,
and I don't even think that was my joke, because what we realized was that it's usually someone has like 2 beer and they're like, I think I can have 3, and then they get a DUI. But in this case, he's like, I only had 2 shots of tequila. And it's like, who leisurely takes a shot of tequila?
Yeah.
And the other funny thing about it is he's made this like whole career about being very stubborn. He's like, I'm not doing any advertisements. I don't need to do advertisements.
Yeah,
he does one Jeep ad. Boom. Yes. DUI right after. Yes, and they had to pull
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Maybe That's there was the thing. A curse I feel like on his family.
Not only is he regimented, he's virtuistic. Like, he has like... these like this very strong sense of morality that it feels like if he even teeters off, like strays away from it, like he's fucked. Like, I feel like he's made a deal with like God or somebody. Like, there's like this thing where he can't go against what he said in the past or it's gonna fuck him over. Mm-hmm. Because
a deal with God is so, like, he really has that energy of like, he has spoken
he has that energy
he's spoken
like,
to God for sure.
Yes.
And God did. He probably was like, you should never take any like ads or like sponsorship deals or whatever. And then he did. And God got him.
It's yeah. very, yes, like, God got him. Very, yes.
It's like how, what was it? The Kennedys were cursed because they like destroyed like an Irish fairy circle or something.
They destroyed an Irish fairy circle?
I remember.
But they are cursed.
I was on a bus in Ireland, and this old man was saying that, like, yeah. there are tons of fairy circles, and if you destroy a fairy circle, then, like, your family, your whole bloodline, cursed for eternity, and they made, like, oh the Kennedy God. Family made an estate in Ireland, and they destroyed yeah. a fairy circle, and we all know what happened yeah. to a lot of those Kennedys, yeah. and yeah. people say that that's why they had such an unlucky time.
Yes, you know...
The Kennedy mind. Wikipedia page is a fucking ride, man.
Oh my God, I bet.
I don't know if you guys read about like the sister or whatever. She ended up having to have a lobotomy or something. Great. And it was like a secret.
Oh my God.
Yeah. A secret lobotomy?
That's no, no. Their family is so fucked.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a real like, you know, you see people on television, you're like, oh, hiding in plain sight isn't a thing that people really do. And then you start to read stuff and you're like, oh, maybe it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
The other day I almost tweeted, if you can't lobotomize yourself, how the hell are you going to lobotomize somebody else? Can I get an amen?
Why? Why do you think of these things? You know what? Okay. Speaking of RuPaul, I just finished this recent season of Drag Race. And I'm obsessed with Crystal Method.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, that's a great name.
I know. Right?
I'm so happy that... I think it's so fucking funny, though, that Rue kept calling her Aldebarge. And every time we see her, it's just like, the night. And then it like echoes and it's
so. And they had like never done that before, Queen. And the best part is that she had no idea who Aldebarge was. So like,
Crystal yes, Method, that's why it was so like, funny. And Rue just kept being like, you look so much like Aldebarge.
So be like, thank you. In interviews since Crystal, they've been like, so do you know who Aldebarge is? And Crystal Method was like, no. And production like would not tell me. I'm like, I find that so funny that they're just keeping her in the dark.
That's why it's so funny.
Oh my God, that was a good season, despite that shameful queen. I mean,
oh, that idiot, that stupid bitch,
edited out of an entire season of a show. I mean,
oh my God. Oh, it was she?
Well, I mean, she was still in it, but there was like, she was edited out of it so much that it was like.
Yeah, you could tell that there were gaps, kind of.
Yeah, like, I feel like there's so much, like, footage on, like, the cutting room floor.
Yes.
Where she's, like, getting praise from the judges. And then, like, in lieu of the scandal, they were like, we cannot.
We were like, we can't praise her. But you know who we can praise?
Bruce Springsteen.
Aiden
O'Loughlin is kind of the Bruce Springsteen of this podcast. In that he will drink 4 shots of tequila.
He will. Really?
No.
You know what?
He'll drink 2 glasses of white wine. That's Aiden.
No, I don't know why I was like, Aiden doesn't drink that much.
Aiden likes to drink.
Yeah. All right. I was going to tell you how I met Aiden.
Tell us.
Yes. Oh,
and this is a drinking story. Okay. So Adam Christie, I was in Toronto and he said, I'm doing a show tonight and I can get you a spot. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes. Oh, I didn't ask any questions, because I don't.
Hungry for stage time, get it?
I just like let it happen.
Of course.
So he sends me the address to this show, and I was excited. I was like, all right, nice. Let's have a couple of drinks. So I go to a bar. I was like really wanting like a pint, like specifically a poured pint. Oh. Anyway, I get there, and I try to get in, and I'm like, oh, I can't get into this place. And I'm like, Adam, I'm at the wrong place. This is like an apartment. And he was like, no, that's right. And I was like, oh, okay. So I get there, and it's a rooftop show that Olivia Stadler is running.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I didn't know her then. I mean, I know her now. I think she's very funny and she's great. Yeah. But I thought I was going to a bar.
She is.
So I brought my set and stuff, which was fine. But I was I just thought it was a really cool idea, and I thought that people there were nice, and I wanted to drink. But when I got there, I was like, oh, this isn't a bar, and I don't have any alcohol at all.
Yeah.
So I did my set, and I was just like, hey, I thought this was a bar. So if anyone has any extra booze, I would be grateful. And so this guy, I can't remember who, gave me some of the worst rum I've ever had in my life. And I'm a Newfoundlander, so I was like breastfed on bad rum.
Oh.
So, my God. I'm not a fan of what
your mom
just
really
said.
Cannot listen to this episode now.
She's yeah.
Like, I did not drink when I was pregnant with you.
Bad rum. Not only did you imply that your mother was drinking so heavily that her breast milk was rum, but it was bad rum.
Bad rum.
You know, no, Ava, it was just two shots of bad rum, just so she could drive a little easier.
Yes. Okay. We're back on the callback train.
So then anyway, I was just sitting there and I met Aiden and we were talking and they did karaoke after. Okay. And I can't remember who, and it was one of those magical moments. I remember texting my girlfriend about it. I forget. Mm-hmm. There was a comedian who was like very gruff and that mm-hmm. he got up and the song he was singing, I forget what it was. I think it might have been like What a Wonderful World, like a croony long song, and I was like, "Oh no."
Oh my God.
And he murdered it. And I was like, oh my, this is magical.
Oh my God.
For real. Yeah. Oh God. Okay. Interesting.
Oh my God. So you got drunk. Oh my God. You got wasted with Aiden.
I did, yes.
And on bad rum.
On bad rum. I think Aiden was drinking normal stuff. But yeah.
And I've been to that rooftop.
Good.
That was, you were right little... in the heart of Young and Dundas Square.
I believe it.
Wow. Oh my God. I love it.
How did you guys meet?
Oh my God.
Well,
okay.
Well, first, when we met, it was at that show.
It was a show that shall not be named.
That shan't be named.
I get that. It is good.
Okay, that was.
That's very funny.
Oh, that was. But we met briefly, and I remember like being like, oh my God, like fun. And
yeah.
we smoked
yes.
DJ together.
Yes, we initially met at that show that should not be named, and then we did, I think, Bedpost.
Yes.
I was leaving, you're like, oh my God, Abba? And I was like, oh my God, Ben, you're so funny. And you're like, you're so funny. And we spoke together. And then I think like a month later, it was like, Brandon can't do Amigashitas.
Yes.
Can you host it
with me? And we did.
And we did.
And it was magical.
And the rest is history. And then literally that's how we conceptualized nostalgia.
I know.
No way.
Literally on that table in the theater center. And I remember mm-hmm. Liza Paul was there. And
sitting
she
across from Liza Paul.
And this is legal. Like people, we hosted the show and we did like a great job. And people were literally coming up to us afterwards being like, you guys should start a podcast. And we were like, okay.
Yes.
Really?
I know. Yeah. So we did.
So were you guys not really like good?
But it's so weird because that simultaneously feels like so long ago, but also a second ago.
It wasn't that long.
And also just like in terms of like comedy, it's like I can't picture like it's like you were always there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I picture like doing comedy like post or pre-ABBA and I'm like, what did that even look like?
Exactly. I agree. What did it even look like before Ben?
It was me kind of like walking nervously into the comedy bar being like, hi.
Me too. And me kind of being like, no one here sees me.
And then I got to the point where like ABBA would fully be on stage during Skechersons and Brandon and I are like bursting into the dressing room and be like, where's ABBA? Like,
where's ABBA?
Everyone, everyone's shushing us. Like,
She's on stage. She's on stage. We're still doing the show. You fucking idiot.
Are you talking about Brandon Ash Muhammad?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay, so the first time I did the Skechersons, Brandon was hosting. I was just popping in to do sketches. Allison Hogg just arranged that they would let me come just do some sketches. And Brandon, I didn't realize it, but I took Brandon's scripts by accident. And I was rehearsal. I was like doing stuff that was written for him. And I was reading it and I was like, I'm really nervous about this because he can say shit that I can't say. Like there's this line that he says, he says, Hodo, you simple bitch, which I'm sure as you hear that coming out of my mouth now, I wouldn't say that in real life. Of course, I would not say that. But even as a line in a thing, that sounds bad coming from my mouth.
Hodo, you simple bitch.
Now, okay, so now imagine Brandon Ash Muhammad saying that, and it got like a huge laugh. But me saying it is like, and I was like, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with this.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anyone.
Hodo fully slaps you. She's like, what did you just call me?
What did you say to me?
That's so I picture you like reading a script. It's like, it says here you want me to jump into the splits. I don't know. Like,
it says you want me to bust my bussy. What's a bussy?
Just a couple notes. Oh, that is so funny.
Oh my god. Do you think Bruce Springsteen knows what a bussy is?
No. Oh yeah, I think really? He seems like he wants to, but I don't think he's impressed with it, but I think he wants to know. I think he probably called his daughter in at some point and was like, "Hey, what's a bussy?" Tell your father what a bussy is.
That is so funny.
That is so stupid. Tell your father what a bussy is.
I picture Bruce Springsteen like in a study being like, "Hey, come in here for a second." And she's like, "Dad, is everything okay?" And he's like, oh. He's like been eating him up for days. I don't know if he knows what a bussy is. I think that bussy is like, I feel like certain men belong to certain age groups of men, like they hear words like bussy, and I truly think it goes in one ear and out the other. They just know, yeah, like, that's not for me.
And okay, like, can I level with you right now?
Please.
Yes. I don't know what a bussy is.
This is everything. This is everything. No, this is...
Matt, you don't know what a bussy is? Okay, what do you think it is?
Oh, I'm afraid to answer that.
You might.
I just thought it was like a different spelling for pussy. That's what I thought.
And you know what? You're not wrong. You're not far off.
It's true. You're not wrong.
Basically, and what you've given us is a gift today, because the gift of explaining, the gift of explaining on the pod what pussy is just, it's pussy. So like I almost like don't want to tell you because I'm enjoying living in this space, yeah, so much. But it's basically the combination of the word pussy and boy. So a boy pussy referring to a gay man's butthole, essentially a booty hole.
Oh, okay.
Do you understand that, like, people who consider us for work in the industry listen to this podcast? Oh my god!
Wait, yeah, and they'll be like, "Wow, they're nice. Look at them educating their friends."
That's disgusting. They'll be like, "They're never gonna work in this country again."
The idea that people listen to this podcast sometimes, like, keeps me up at night. I'm like, what have I said?
Well, I just got a little anxious because I don't know Hodo at all. I do think she's funny. I think she's a really sharp writer. I've seen her do stand up like 3 times, and yeah, I saw her on that show. Hilarious. But like, I met her briefly at that, and I'm not certain we've ever spoke. And I didn't actually say that line out loud because Brandon said it, and I was like, oh, thank God, I've made an enormous mistake.
Well, she listens. She's gonna kill you now.
She'll find that funny, I think.
She'll find it hilarious.
Oh my god. You simple bitch is also just like such a funny, like, you simple bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fucking funny. To call somebody simple is so rude. It feels like last time we did this episode, we spoke so much about Bruce Springsteen.
I was just thinking that. I made notes. I was like, well, it would be some interesting things to tell your listeners.
And you know what? Tell us how you got into what's Bruce your journey? Springsteen. I feel like he's just always existed.
Okay. And I think that's fair, because I think that Bruce is so great. I think he's up there with like the Stones and the Beatles. Yeah. I think he's incredible. Absolutely. I remember I was in bed, and my family was like downstairs, like, and my extended family, like cousins and stuff, and they were listening to Dancing in the Dark, and they were dancing in the dark. It was very on the nose, and I got out of bed and I was like, what is this song? And and then it's just like, my parents always had it on, and I kind of liked it, but it was like the same thing that a lot of people go through with Springsteen. Yeah. The first time I come on, I have like shit prepared. Now I'm like, Brip Springsteen has many songs. No bussy knowledge. I thought it was like Americana music. I don't know why. I think this was a sports thing, but I remember there was like a song called Born in the USA, and I was like, fuck the USA. So, you know, now I'm mad at America for more sophisticated reasons.
Yes.
But it's nice because, like, a lot of people don't realize that that's like a Vietnam War protest song. And it's and then there's all these like rah-rah kind of conservatives who use his music when you're like, all of his values are very much against,
like, liberal.
Yeah,
he's incredibly liberal. Yeah. It's very funny, like, last time we were talking about like the kind of America that he represents, it's like the kind of America that Obama wants to represent, even though that is the antithesis of what America actually is. Like, like, they're very like, yes, power to the working class. Like, this, I don't know. I feel like people who are really into Bruce Springsteen are into him because he has this like idealized, like, type of masculinity. Like, he's very like, he's like, there's toxic masculinity, and then I feel like he represents like ideal masculinity. Like I said this last time about how like there's the joke of like men being in women's business. Like how like if a man is like roasting a girl on Twitter, like the reply will probably be something like that chart where it's like a small circle and then around that circle is a bigger circle. And the small circle is like women, women's business, and the outer circle is men's business. Yeah. And women will be like, look at the circle, you are here. And like pointing at the outer circle being like, you're in women's business. But he is in men's business. Like I believe that he will build a house. Like he is like, he represents masculinity that is like useful.
And I think just like being like kind of outward talking about depression, I think for like my father's generation, there's, I'm not certain there's a lot of people that they would even hear that stuff from.
Yeah,
because it was only like 10 years ago that like, or maybe this is more of a straight man thing, but then you could be like, you don't want, I sometimes experience sadness and people are like, oh my, emotion is anger, you idiot.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's like, and I think that kind of having that message given by someone who is palatable to people like that, he's kind of like a Trojan horse in that sense.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my god.
Exactly. Like I think that what's interesting with Bruce Springsteen is that because he uses so much like American iconography, it feels as though he's synonymous with what like America always represents, but he represents like this like type of America that, dare I say it, does not exist anymore. Like he was really popular in the 80s where it felt like there was actually a lot of hope for the US. Like the US was very like, the U.S. was burning in the 80s, and like it felt like people were like not looking for like a renaissance, but like everyone was like looking for like a more progressive U.S. and like looking forward to the 90s.
Yeah.
And like the 90s came with like a lot of like progressive values and stuff like that. It feels like he represents that time in U.S. culture. And I don't know. I feel like when I first discovered his music, I was like, oh my god, he's conservative, because I didn't understand.
Same. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I definitely like, and I mean, I was but a child when I thought this way, but I remember being like, oh yeah, like you like Bruce Springsteen, you must be like lame, like that's like my conservative uncle will probably like that music. But then the older I got, like I listened to like musicians I respect and they talk about their favorite musicians, and like so many like indie rock people who I love, like Springsteen is on like so many people's
list. Yes.
Yep.
Oh my god, Chinatown, the song by Bleachers. Yes.
Yeah, he's on that. Def Cab are big Springsteen people.
Exactly. Oh my god, yeah. Where it sounds like you can't really differentiate the, well, you can. You can hear when Bruce comes in, but it's like, oh my god, this is so similar. Like I just love that he's still relevant.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that America has any more examples of like, I'll say it, positive masculinity.
It's really true. Like I can't think, like Springsteen seems like one of the only like wholesome like icons of America.
Yes, that's, like wholesome male American icons. Male icons. Like,
who else is, I guess like what's his face? The man who had that show.
Denzel Washington. Denzel,
he was like, he would wear the sweaters and it was for children.
Bill Cosby?
No, not Bill Cosby.
Mr. Rogers.
That is the biggest misunderstanding in podcast history.
You know what? It was the sweaters. I should have specific cardigans, not sweaters.
Cardigans. But yeah, like it feels like he represented a united America that was united for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was like ahead. It's all well and good, and it looks great to look at now. But when I was doing a bit of reading, I didn't realize how early he was like on a lot of these issues and stuff too.
Yeah,
like, not just like LGBTQ rights and stuff, and like he played on all the trans bathroom bills. Like,
so
50
he does know what he means. He's known what pussy meant this whole time.
You're right, Matt.
You're right, Matt.
He might have known what pussy meant.
Well, exactly. Like it feels like he is. I feel like he's like that Dos Equis character.
Shut up. You remember that? Yes. Yeah. The most interesting man.
Interesting man.
Totally.
Yes. It feels like he's kind of like that. Yeah. Like he's like very masculine man, but like loves, like he's like trans rights, LGBTQ rights. Like it feels like he has his hand in like every corner. But like, I also think it's really interesting how he's doing that podcast with Obama.
I know. Isn't that like, weird?
I want to know how nuanced he is.
Okay. This is the crazy thing about that podcast is that it has ads.
Yeah.
Like, this podcast is brought to you by Starbucks. I was like, you were the president. Why do you need your podcast? What do you need to shill for Starbucks?
Well, it feels like corporations run that country. Yeah. So it probably just.
Well, undeniably.
Sense. Is it? Yeah. Is Obama read? Is Obama reading the ads?
Yeah, well, when I'm on my double.
I was like, hey, Bruce, you know what I love about Starbucks? He's like, what's that, Obama? Like, do they have like a little, like, do they have like a little rapport?
A little banter?
Sometimes I look at Michelle and I just say, that woman needs cake pop.
I wonder if Michelle ever comes in and like interrupts. Like, does she ever like...
Oh, I'd love
that.
Is
she ever a part of it? Does she ever take over an episode? Like,
that would be great.
I want to know how.
If Michelle Obama had a podcast, who would be her Bruce Springsteen? Which musician?
Beyonce. Oh. Beyonce spent her birthday with Michelle Obama a few years ago. Oh my God. Like, they're friends. Well,
that's wild. That's why people believe in the Illuminati.
Exactly. That's what I'm. But if you think about it, there are so many undercover private societies in Hollywood that do extremely fucked up things. I think that the Illuminati is implausible because people think that a bunch of really rich, like, people with pull can come together to create like mega stars as opposed to coming together to like be pedophiles.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think that they're coming together for evil, not for good.
Truly. And also I learned, like, to get in the Illuminati, you have to kill someone you love. That's like a thing.
What?
It's like the final, and obviously, like, this is here, like, who knows? But like, from what I've heard from the forums, is they say that like the final like trial or the final like step into getting into the Illuminati is you have to murder someone you love.
Murder someone you love? Do you think you could ever murder someone?
Yes, for the Illuminati, anything. It depends. Like, because there are different contexts. Like, I guess, like. Would, if I had a loved one who wanted to be euthanized because they were suffering, I could do
that.
Fuck you. But I don't know if I could ever, like, murder someone if they didn't know I was going to do it. It would feel sad.
Wait, that's the problem?
Like, we have to,
I can't sneak
it.
It's not honorable.
We have to decide it together. Like, it would have to be, like, a consensual,
murder.
It had
to be a thing together.
That is such an old medieval style of justice that you're like, murder's fine if I do it front-facing.
I know, there has to be honor.
No swords in the back.
Listen, I'm an honor... I'm all about honor. And okay, like, I'm picturing now, like, with a big, what's it called? A flail. You know, those, like, the big staff and then the chain with the ball with spikes on it. I'd have that, and I'd be like, swinging around. That would be my weapon of choice. Okay. But I don't think I could kill somebody.
I wouldn't murder because I think it's rude.
Yes.
But I don't want to leave you alone in this confession. And I listened to an episode, I think, of you guys talking to Foyzy, and you're talking about if you could do any crime, what would you say? As I was doing the dishes. And I said arson so fast, it scared me.
Whoa, that's like inside your soul.
Why arson?
I just like arson? Fire.
So you
know what?
I had a fire last night. It's one of my favorite things to do. I would if I had to crime.
It would be fire.
Wait, you had a fire last night?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, like a like a fire pit. Okay.
Good. Yeah, yeah, we have a fire pit.
You think you just had a
fire? I know, I was like, did you just light yourself a cute little fire to, like, you know,
yeah,
a fun night?
I'm microdosing. I'm microdosing arson.
Every time you light a candle. I think that's a tweet or something.
Oh,
every time you light a
You know what? I should tweet it, and then you should tweet it right after. That's
Shut
a,
up!
That's a callback to the last podcast.
That's
Shanaisy.
Good. Matt, you...
Oh, you know what?
Great.
Come off it. So,
let's get into it.
What was the tweet even? I don't even remember. I can't remember what the tweet was.
I don't either. And it was certainly not a big deal, but I like that it's coming up again.
But Matt tweeted something that I tweeted basically the same thing in different words. And there are so many layers to this where it was the thing that I had tweeted was probably something that Matt had written already because he submitted it as a joke at 22. And I subconsciously internalized it as my own idea when I went to tweet it. And then literally as I was scrolling through my timeline, I saw Matt's tweet and I was like, wait, is that my tweet? And then I went to my profile to see if it was the same thing, and before I can even knew that, like, Matt was in my mentions calling me a bitch.
Okay, hang on.
Stealing his tweet. He said Abba Mukwondo's a bitch for stealing my tweet. He called me a bitch.
I called you a simple bitch.
A simple bitch. Oh my
God. No, I didn't. I sent you an upside down smiley face in a quote tweet.
Yes.
Which is
you're really passive aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. I love that drama. And well, I mean, we'll never know who. I mean, Abbott could have been your tweet, and maybe Matt's just, maybe he's lying.
Maybe he's
getting away with
it. Matt would never lie. No. Matt's too nice for that.
I would lie sometimes.
I know. I was like,
crazy.
I don't know.
I can't imagine you lying. I feel like you're too good.
I know. East Coast people, I feel like, can't tell a lie. Is that true?
It's because he's East Coast.
It's because you're East Coast.
I will say I have a very telling face, so it is harder for me to get away with.
So you have tells. Like, there are things that, like, we can look for to see if you're lying.
Yes.
What's your tell? Okay. What's your tell? If I'm ever playing a poker game with you, how do I know?
Oh, yeah. Just a really slow motion wink. You got to watch for it, but it's there.
Are you serious? No. I don't have a set.
A wink followed by, like, an eyebrow arch? Like,
yeah.
Who knows? I'm telling you the truth.
And if I lie on the internet, I italicize it.
Yes. And then followed by kind of like a darting eyes emoji.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a controversial question. Do you think Bruce Springsteen is going to die soon? Because it feels like he's one of the last American legends. Who's going to replace him?
Abba. First of all, great question. And it's the reason I'm reacting like this is because I was literally talking about this last night. Because it's one of my things now that, like, I can book a vaccine on Friday.
Yes.
And I'm starting to think about all the things that I would very much like to do before I die myself. Mm-hmm. And one of them, I'm like, there's no one I'd like to see more than Bruce Springsteen. There's nowhere. I just want to go one of those long ass 4-hour concerts he does.
Yes. Yes.
With the 20-minute sax solos.
Oh my God, yes.
It's like, remember, this is another thing that we were talking about off pod, but we were talking about like any type of, like, something that felt like church but wasn't mm-hmm. religious. Mm-hmm. The same kind of deal. I want that type of experience.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he like still tours, like, I mean, obviously not on COVID, but he's still like tours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can.
Yeah, he's like, and my parents have seen him and they're like, I've never seen someone who was clearly working so hard to give a good show. And even in his book, he's like, I'm not the best singer, I'm not the best guitarist, but you will never see someone try harder than me than give people a good show.
Isn't that so American? That is, isn't that such an American thing to say?
Well, I think it's like American propaganda. That's what they think. Because there is that idea, because, like, part of me is like, I've kind of come around to the idea that, like, most of the quote unquote good work I've done, it hasn't been because I've been like beating my head off the wall working hard. It's just been like, oh, I have an idea, and it just fucking comes out of me. And I'd be lying if I said I worked really hard. So there is an element of, like, I mean, like, well, I think I try hard. I sit at this desk, but, like, fuck, man, I don't know if I'm really doing anything. But then this idea of hard work, I think there's this idea that they sell in America that's like, if you work really hard, you'll get it. As if there's no lines, like, or fences in front of that.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Totally. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that is.
Did you? Sorry, Ben.
No, I was just agreeing. Like, that's very much, I feel like, the American dream, LOL, is very like, oh, it does not matter where you come from. You could be any race, religion, like, anything, honey, and you could you could be a billionaire of a Fortune 500 company. And it's like, absolutely not. Like, that's propaganda. It's like, there are fences. There are everyone starting at a different, whatever. I'm trying to use a sports analogy here. What's wrong with me? But everyone has a different, like, starting line and whatever. The race of capitalism. And it's like, Bruce Springsteen, I'm sure, is super hardworking. But I'm sure what draws so many Americans to him is being like, well, he's kind of like me. And, like, maybe I could be that someday. And I feel like a lot of American pop, especially, is about that form of, like, relatability of, like, no, man, like, I'm not a star. I'm just like you. And it's like, no, like, you're a star, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Did you watch him on SNL?
No, I didn't. I don't. Recently? I'm not saying this to be cool, but I don't watch a lot of SNL. So I did not see
okay, cool
you're
killer.
Saying, you're saying it to be cool. No, I'm kidding.
Matt's
I'm
like,
kidding.
I only watch Euphoria and that's it.
I've actually never watched Euphoria. I've never actually seen Euphoria. I just been to Search Party, which is unbelievable.
Right? Search Party is such a great show.
Oh my god, you guys have watched it?
Yeah.
Get ready, Abba. You're gonna be getting some very aggressive text messages from me.
Have you heard that there's gonna be season 4 or season 5? New season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're making a new season.
They're making a new season, yeah. Because
yeah.
I remember.
Okay, I'm not saying this to correct you. I'm just saying I might be able to give you a gift. There already is a season 4. I don't know if you've seen.
No,
it.
No, sorry. Yeah. I meant season 5. I meant season 5.
Oh, damn season it. Five. I thought I was going to be able to be like, no, you will girl. Not believe what I have in store for you.
I was watching it when it was on TBS like years ago. And because the first season came out, and then there was such a long hiatus between, like, I think it was either season 1, 2, or 2, or 3. And then because HBO Max picked it up, and it was like years where we weren't getting any new Search Party, and now it's having this like resurgence because it's on HBO Max, and now they've like ordered like a bunch of new seasons because like it's such a big hit.
Yes.
I'm so excited because the ending of season 4 was, I'm going to say it, I like season 4, but the ending of season 4 was a disappointment. I thought it was, the ending was hack. The ending of that.
Her being like,
is it a dream?
I see everything.
I know. Yeah. I was like, to me, I felt like they wrote it that way to be like, to kind of maybe keep it open. But in case they got picked up, because that was their final season at the time, they thought.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
I will say that, and I honestly think that you guys should put a spoiler alert on this pod, because I think that this is a bad show to spoil. But with that said, if you're still listening, because I think you were vague enough that you didn't really spoil what happened, I'm going to give your audience a minute to skip ahead 15 seconds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that whole season was kind of like, it was such a violent shift tonally. And I know that every season's kind of like a different genre, which I do like, but it was so different that I'm not sure that I liked that. But I did find that Dory had gotten so, like her in season 3, she had gotten so unlikable that I'm like, if you wanted us to side with her, I don't know if you could have found another way to do it. But I was like, what if we just didn't side with her at all? We can watch plenty of interesting people who are not good. Not everyone has to be Bruce Springsteen.
that's a good
point. I will say that I felt like last season, some of it was a bit inside baseball, where I was like, it feels like some of these jokes are like you have to be very like, it's very incredibly niche.
Yeah.
I'm like, you have to be logged on at like the correct time to know what they're talking about sometimes.
Totally. It's very like, sometimes it feels like almost intimidatingly Brooklyn. And I'm like,
I'm like
laughing at like Brooklyn specific jokes. I'm like, I've never been there. I get it.
Yeah. But I love Alia Shawkat. Oh. She's so beautiful.
I was gonna say
she's
that
so funny.
That last line that you just mentioned, that in the hands of a worse actor, would have been. You're not a chance in hell are you buying it. Not even 10%.
Exactly.
I will say the whole main cast is just like,
I'm obsessed with that.
Oh my god. John Early's hysterical.
Oh, John Early's.
I love
the
John
girl
Early.
Who plays Portia, so talented.
Meredith
so funny.
She's so funny. She's in
Palm Springs.
Oh, is she?
She is
in Palm Springs. I
the
love
girlfriend.
Palm Springs.
She goes, oh my god. That's
see, yes.
She
okay, so that's
so
amazing because Palm Springs really hits both my genres. It's high concept and it's people my age having an existential crisis.
But also about love.
About love.
Yes, I love love.
It's a beautiful thing.
That, oh my god, I love. Yeah, the Portia, that character. She, I mean, give her. But also, my favorite character of Search Party all time. All time season three, Cassidy Diamond, the lawyer.
Oh, she's hysterical.
She is.
She's so.
And that's another actor that I was like, oh, this feels like a caricature. But the woman who plays her is so incredible that I'm like, oh, I'm rooting for this woman and her stuffed animals to make something.
When she's giving her closing statement, she's like slinking across the court. Like her body acting is like god level. She's
so funny.
Oh my god.
And you know what? Even Drew, who in the first season feels like a character that is just a dull boyfriend, and not to say that he's not dull, but I root for him so hard and I can't believe that I do.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the thing because in the first season I'm like, this guy fucking sucks, girl. Yeah. Leave him. He's nothing. But then she starts to turn and you're like, "Oh my god, god bless you." Like Drew like you find yourself, you keep going on, like, we stand, we're rooting for you, and we're, like, trying to get her away from him. And I think he, I think the actor that does it is very funny also.
Hysterical, yeah.
Yeah, he's having a
what
moment.
What else was he
You
in?
Guys are just murdering and being psychopaths all the live long day. One of the greatest lines I've ever heard uttered on television.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's so stupid. But I guess we're getting close to the end. I feel like we maybe talked about Bruce Springsteen like four times.
I kind of love that for us because I feel like, I think like... It's like, what? It's like people listen to the podcast, like, what do you expect? You expect Ben and Abba to know everything about Bruce Springsteen? It's
like, Bruce Springsteen?
It's like, come on. It's like, wake up. You grow up, you know? but I think what I do love about Bruce Springsteen is he's truly a musician where, like, I love being, I mean, because sometimes I'm right about people. You know what I mean? You know when you're right, you're like, I don't like that person, then you're right. And you're kind of like, oh, I wish I wasn't. But I love to be wrong about Bruce. Like, I love being like, no, like, Ben, give Bruce a chance. And honestly, like, if I ever got the chance to see him live, I think I would run to that opportunity just based off the stories I've heard. Those concerts sound incredible. And, like, people, like, say that he has raw sex appeal.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about that. Do you think he's hot?
Do you think he's hot?
Yeah.
You think he's hot?
He's immensely good looking.
I
mean, I know what he looks like, but I need to see.
I also
again.
Need to see too. I'm hack. I
okay.
Bruce Stinks.
Yeah. He's a very good looking man. I think it's crazy because we were talking about him dancing with Courtney Cox in the dancing in the dark video. When I told him that I told you guys that it looked like Courtney Cox was wearing a 22 minutes wig, and then Ben stood up.
She looked bad in that picture. Oh yeah, he's hot. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Even in his old age.
I know.
And him and...
He was really hot when he was young.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's hot.
You guys, like, forgot I was here.
I'm like, he may not know what bussy means, but, honey, he's about to. I'm on my way to Jersey, okay? One-way ticket. A bottle of tequila, two shot glasses. Let's get this party started.
Yeah. Hold the car.
Hold the car.
Oh my God.
Hide his car keys. Anyway. Wow.
What do you think the most important Bruce Springsteen song is? For me personally, I think it's I'm on Fire. Is that Bruce Springsteen? Yes.
Absolutely. And I think that I'm sorry, Emma, I cut you off. I apologize.
Oh, it's okay. I was just gonna say, like, I'm stealing this from a person I don't talk to anymore. Thank God, he was such a bad person. But he said that he wanted to write an indie movie where there's a montage and everyone's getting ready to go into, like, their different walk of life. They're, like, leaving university and becoming real adults. And the montage would be a montage of everyone leaving to their respective homes dawn of, like, a new day, like, they all stayed out all night to celebrate graduating university, as if people do that.
Yeah.
And so every time I listen to that song, there's, like, this sense of, like, finality that it really gives me. And I think that if you're trying to get into Bruce Springsteen, that is the song that you should one of the songs that you should listen
to
first. It's very beautiful. What song do you think is, like, quintessential Bruce?
I have two. One, I think honestly, if I were to start someone, I think I'm on Fire is a great place because it's a gorgeous song. It's accessible. Yeah. It's got the horniest opening line of any song ever written. Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go away and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire. I'm on fire. Settle down, young man.
Oh, my God.
I like to know, though, that he's writing from the perspective of a young man.
Yeah. It wasn't like, I'm 73 and I got something on my mind.
He's like, I'm 17. The girl I like is also 17.
Yeah. But I think that, like, a big part about Bruce for me is, like, the thing about it is it's so earnest to the point that it almost seems corny and maybe is corny based on our generation's desire to have everything so ironic. But it's just earnest, like, music and there's a saxophone that's always in it. Like, Clarence Clemons on the saxophone is so important to Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. So I have come to a bunch, and I'll give you two examples if I may.
Okay.
And I have a little tiny anecdote if I could
of course.
So I like Tunnel of Love. It's his divorce album, and it's just a bunch of really sad ballads. I think it's really great. It's hard to say Born to Run is not the song. Born to Run is a song that he wrote. He was writing that album for like 6 months, I think. They recorded for like a year. He was writing that song for 6 months, and then, like, they just, I think he literally got so mad at it, he threw it into a river. had to actually record music. So I think it's really funny. But I have grown to love 10th Avenue Freeze Out. My favorite lyric, though, because I realized that we're doing The River, which is a long, sad song at karaoke, which is insane. A crime to do. Do not do this to other people at a karaoke bar. But there's a line in that. And I remember reading it at the age of like 21 on the screen. And the line is a dream a lie? And let me pull this up so I don't fuck it. Yeah. Okay. Is a dream a lie if it don't come true, or is it something worse? And there's something about that that makes me want to vomit sadness.
Oh my God.
And I remember singing that like drunk when I was like 19 at karaoke. Just being like, is a dream a lie?
And you just... know what? That line you said... It's like, he is a sad boy, but he's what a sad boy should be. Yeah. Be sad, but be able to build a house.
Yeah, it's not weaponized sadness.
Yeah, let's not weaponize your
sadness. I love how, Abba, you really just want a man to build you a house.
I think men need to go back into the woods and start building homes.
Like, I agree. Enough. It's like they're taking
men
it.
Men need to do hard labor. This is enough.
I'm working on it. I'm trying to be a more traditional man, and it's in some senses.
Go chop wood.
I did chop wood. Good. I was chopping wood yesterday.
Oh my God.
My other song is 10th Avenue Freeze Out. And I like Jungle Land. Both are Clarence Clemons sax songs. And him and Bruce were like always best friends. He was always like the most popular guy in the band. And Bruce would hype him up so much. Like he was like at concerts, like Clarence would get a bigger rise than Bruce would. But Bruce would thrive in that. Because he was like, this guy's my brother. They talk about when they met, they're like, right away, they're like, we're going to play music together until we're dead. And unfortunately, Clarence did die kind of recently. Or not recently, but within as far as Springsteen's career goes. But they had all these songs that they stopped playing because they weren't playing with the E Street Band. And they didn't have a guy that Bruce was like, there's people who can hit the notes, but they don't bring Clarence's presence, so it doesn't feel right. So they finally found a guy, and the guy that they found who plays with them now, Clarence's nephew used to go around with him when he was too sick and would like carry his equipment around and just take care of any of his shit. And then he wouldn't audition for the band because he like thought it would be disrespectful to his uncle. But Bruce eventually one day out of nowhere was just like, why don't you just come in and play? And he just comes in and crushed it. And there's a video of them playing Jungle Land. And you could just see them. It's like, I have shivers talking about it. It's so sweet.
That is so
like the
beautiful.
Story like of Bruce Springsteen and around Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen. What is going on? Bruce Springsteen and like Clarence and stuff. It's very like... It feels like a movie. It feels like those quintessential like American classics. Like, we gotta save the town. Literally. Like, it feels like it has like that energy behind
it.
Exactly. That sense of unity. And you were saying last time that Clarence and Bruce played together because like Bruce grew up in like a very black neighborhood at the time. So I think it's very interesting, like, that connection to, like, Bruce Springsteen represents something that is so quintessentially American. And I hate to say it, but there is something unifying about that time in America where so many black people and white people were making music in the 70s, not only protest songs to, like, obviously be like, fuck the war, but songs that were like, we can do this together. If we can play music together, then we can live in unity. And obviously that message got bastardized. But it feels like Bruce kind of still has that that core that core message.
He seems like a genuinely, like the idea of what a good man is a little complicated. But he seems like what a, like the type of good man that you would like to be.
Exactly. Yeah. He's trying his hardest. He's trying his hardest to be a good man. That's what it sounds
like. Oh my God. I'm deciding right now I'm going to be a good man.
Me too. I've decided at this very moment. Okay. No more arson.
No more arson.
No more arson.
For me, no more slinging my bussy to the highest to whoever will buy me a Happy Meal. Okay.
Well, let me tell you, as a man who just learned what a bussy was, I think that you can swing a bussy and be a good man at the same time. And I think Bruce would think the same thing.
No, exactly. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, Bruce's general vibe is like, I don't understand it, but I'm here for it.
I mean, no, you could totally be a good man and throw around your bussy, but honey, not the way I do it. Okay. I'm rotted.
Oh my god, I'm rotted. That is so, you know what? Whenever you say rotted, I'm like, this is 2003. I'm in Brampton. That is such like an old school, like Toronto, like not Toronto, but like GTA slang term. Oh my god.
I thought that was a Newfoundland rotted thing. That's fascinating.
Really? Yeah. God. It's so interesting. The girls used to say that in grade four. He's rotted. That boy's rotted. I thought it was a gay thing, honestly.
Wait, this is so out of left field, but have you guys heard that new word choogy?
Choogy.
I sound so old.
So choogy is basic.
Choogy is
right?
The new word for basic.
So what's basic these days? Like purses that say Balenciaga on it. What else?
It's like, one of them was so specific that I was like, this can't be universal. But it was like, I'm forgetting. I was like, eats at Panera Bread.
Oh, Panera Bread is so choogy, but it's so good. It's like good white people food. Panera Bread and Swish LA.
I've never eaten. Oh, Swish LA. Oh, I could talk about Swish LA for 45 minutes. No breaks.
Exactly. And there are some days where I just need bland food. Where I just need bland food.
Swiss nostalgique.
My mouth is watering. Honest, I would, if we get a sponsorship from Swiss Chalet, be so happy. Chalet sauce. I'm drooling. Their chicken on a Kaiser, you dip that shit in a bucket full of their gravy. I'm obsessed.
I love their rolls.
Their chicken strips, best in the city.
Can I tell you something nasty that I do with their rolls?
Yes.
I rip it in half. And you know how it's so hard on the outside and soft on the inside?
Yeah.
I love how soft it is on the inside, so I just tongue it in.
You have the dinner table like, Abba, eat your roll. For God's sake. You're just
I'm like
I get it. I literally get it. I'd be lying if I said I didn't get it. For sure.
It's so soft. It's so soft. I just love the way it feels.
I'd love to see in like your shower, Abba. I'm like, it's like, oh, is that like a loofah or like a beauty bar? It's fully a Swiss Chalet roll. You just like lathering yourself with a roll.
Oh my god. That's stunning. God. But before we go, Matt, tell everyone where they can find you and what they can look forward to coming. What?
Yeah. You know, I got
look
it.
Forward to seeing. Look to forward see. To seeing from you.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't. Well, you can find me at Matt Wright Comic.
Yeah.
I have Instagram and Twitter, and I like those most of the time. I kind of always like Instagram, Twitter. I'm not so sure how I feel. But if you can find me there where I'm putting up my little thoughts.
Yes.
And some pictures. And I have an album that's out, which you can listen to. Yes. I'm going to record another one in a little while, but that won't be out for a while. Okay. Oh, you know what they should do? People should read the article that Ben wrote yesterday. The article you wrote about your brother. Because it was a really beautiful thing.
Gorgeous.
And I thought it was a great piece of writing. And I think that I will direct people that way if they have not read it.
That is so
nice. And I mean, not for nothing, we share a last name, so you're my brother as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
Gonna write an article about you, honey.
I love that. 32-year-old man discovers what bussy means.
Honestly, I'd read it. But no, thank you. That's so sweet. Truly, listen to Matt's work, honey. Watch 22 minutes. If not for Matt, for Abba.
Oh, stop! Don't. Stop it. Don't watch it for me.
Oh, my God. But I gotta say, second time's the charm with us. I feel like this.
Yes.
I feel like I'm relieved the last recording didn't work out because I had so much fun. Abba, I'm sorry.
So
I need to put you on blast again. What are you smelling? Are you smelling? I was taking another hit of poppers.
I just have so many beauty products around me, and I'm really interested. Okay, so I think I've been tweeting about this. Everyone who listens to the podcast is probably just like, the people who listen to this podcast are just our friends. And they've already seen the stories on Instagram and my tweets, but I think I have ADHD. And I'm clocking myself doing these things now more and more, where like while you were talking, I was listening to what you were saying, but I was also going down like a rabbit hole in my mind of things to do with lavender, because the thing that I'm smelling is a lavender spray. Well, and I was thinking of like lavender tea and like, would lavender chicken taste good?
No.
But
no.
It's a great idea though. Lavender feels like more of a bath but thing
like,
for me.
Imagine like a smoked lavender.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Lavender's in a cocktail is nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a lavender simple syrup kind of deal.
Oh.
Yeah.
I want.
Oh my God. Okay, I derailed something. What were we? You were.
No, that just. Yes. I would do, like, I miss ordering a cocktail. So that's the main thing I miss is ordering. Yes, like,
a cocktail.
In a skinny little glass, a little whiskey sour, some egg mm-hmm. some egg white in there. Decadent.
Yes.
Decadent.
Okay. Oh.
When I'm in Toronto next time, as an apology for not. I mean, hopefully in the fall, once I get vaccinated, I think Julie and I have been trying to go to New York for nice. Many, many years. So we're kind of prioritizing that, I think, in the fall. So I may try to spend some time in Toronto before I go there.
Yeah.
And like, she'll come meet me and then we'll fly up together. Hopefully that's our plan.
Oh, nice.
So
that's cute.
In the name of an apology for our first podcast, I will make you guys a New York sour, which is a twist on the whiskey sour, which I think is great. God.
Matt, that's my dream.
Delish.
Oh my God, of course. Scrumptious. I will hold you to that.
Yes, we shall. We shall hold you to it.
But no apology necessary, if anything.
No, we just like to razz you.
I know. If anything, I'm sorry if you ever felt that you needed to apologize, Matt.
No, well, I did feel like I need to apologize, but that's more of a personal thing rather than you guys.
Fair enough.
Thanks so much for being on the podcast. Make sure you check out Matt's work. He's hilarious.
Thank you.
And please, listeners, follow me at ABAQUAN on Twitter, ABAQUANN on Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe and like, comment on the podcast.
Like, comment.
Keep growing our followers.
Share it. Leave a 5-star rating. You can follow me at Ben Sosa Wright on all social media platforms. And leave a 5-star rating. It's literally, it'll send us to the moon.
Two stars better than Memento.
Yes, better than Memento for sure. And honey, we're a podcast you surely won't forget.
Well done.
Yes, that's how you do it.
I just rolled back in my chair.
That was great. I peed.
I love it. That's perfect.
Okay, so you've been listening to Abba.
And you've been listening to Ben. Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. juvederm.com. That's juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.